Welcome to Zion, to our morning worship service, whether you're joining us by phone or by one of your screens. Boy, I loved hearing that song from our vacation Bible school. It makes me really sad that we can't be here together this week with our kids enjoying Bible school together. So we're going to try to do a little bit of connecting with our kids tonight. If you can read my sign, this is to remind you to come by this evening and see our kids, fellowship with them, have some ice cream, And we've collected gifts and items for them this week, and they're going to have a bag or a box to take home. So don't forget to come by tonight. It starts at 6 p.m. and it goes till 7. Okay? Another reminder, an announcement is for next Sunday. Wendell and Karen Omstutz are in the States for a month, and they will be sharing with us in our worship service some of the things that are happening in Bolivia with Vida Feliz. So we're looking forward to having them with us next Sunday. For our call to worship, I'm going to read some words, and then I want you to repeat with these words, praise God. So when I hold up this sign is when you will do the response. Praise God with your whole being. I will praise God as long as I live. Don't trust the plans of humanity. Only God's expansive love is eternal. Praise God. We praise the Creator, the God of Jacob, the one who straightens the bent, who loves the hungry and poor. Praise God. We are here to praise God, who protects the immigrant, who helps the oppressed, who helps the orphan and widow. Praise God. Praise the Creator, whose love flows from generation to generation until all is as God dreams it can be. Praise God. Will you pray with me? Lord, we come into your presence this morning as your community, and we are grateful for the gift of life. When we think of you and your presence in our lives, we are humbled. Humbled by the gift of grace. Humbled by the invitation to begin again. Thank you that we can be surrounded by holy people worshiping you, our holy God. May our light shine this day. Let our hearts be glad. Amen. We will light the mercy, peace, and justice candle. Let justice roll down like water. Let mercy bloom like a flower. Let all God's people join hands and none be excluded. Let differences be like presents to open. Let strangers turn into our best friends. Raise your voice against injustice. Sing a new song of hope. Let God fill you with love. Let God chase away fear. Walk with Jesus the paths of peace and bring in the promised day. Let's sing.
Falling, it's falling on our God, me.
Gina will share a children's story with us this morning.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, folks. Here you go. Let's see. Let's share my screen. And there's my screen. Okay, here we go. We have a story this morning about how to keep going when things are tough and why that's good. How to keep doing stuff even when it's hard, and we learn good things. Good things. That's what it means to have perseverance. So what we're talking about this morning, one of the things is perseverance. Yeah, it's a big word, but it means that sometimes things are hard, but we keep trying until we get it done. Yes. God wants us to know how to keep going, even when it's so tough, so hard. Yeah. This is a nice dog named Theo. Theo has a problem. He has a stick. He wants to go with his person like a good boy. Yeah, but he has a stick, and he can't get the stick to go. Nope, that didn't work. The stick still won't go. Poor Theo. He's going to have to keep trying. Oh, that try didn't work either. Oh, Theo. Oh, my. Here we go. Whoa, wait. That almost worked there. What if we... There we go. He knows how to do it now. Did Theo keep trying even when it was really hard? Yes, he did, didn't he? And he learned something good, didn't he? Yeah, that's what God wants for us, to learn something good. Let's pray about that now. God, it's hard when things are tough. Very hard sometimes. But we need to remember that that's what teaches us how to do new things and how to figure things out. Yeah, really tough things sometimes. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Here we go. Thank you so much. Bye, guys. We will see you next time.
Thank you, Gina. Thank you. I'm going to be reading from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. But ask in faith, never doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Let the believer who is lowly boast in being raised up, and the rich in being brought low. Because the rich will disappear like a flower in the field. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the field. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. It is the same way with the rich. In the midst of a busy life, they will wither away. Blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Bill.
Good morning. Welcome to Zion Mennonite Church. It's good to be with you this morning. I missed last Sunday. I was on vacation, taking some time away. Had a great time, but it's good to be back as well. Welcome to those that are maybe visiting. I know with this format of Zoom, people will be joining us from who knows where. So welcome to everyone this morning as we step into a series, a sermon series on the book of James. Belief, Behavior, and Beyond is the title for this series. In thinking about this book, James, it's a book that sometimes has been discounted because it seems like it leans toward our salvation being dependent upon works. And so I want to think this morning as we go through this series to recognize James is not talking about salvation by works. He is indeed affirming what Paul teaches, what Jesus teaches, is that salvation is a gift. It's given to us by grace. We receive that gift, not by anything we've done, but because we've received that gift, James is going to work out in understanding that it makes a difference then in what we do. So there's belief or faith that's going to bring about a behavior. It has to impact what we do. Now, if you're familiar with this belief behavior, you would know that sometimes we see a triangle where belief is one side of the triangle, behavior is another side of the triangle, and then belonging is the third side of the triangle. I like that. That's a good image. But I've added to that this morning, instead of belonging, putting this beyond. Just trying to continue to help us to understand that faith is about that receiving of a gift. It is about putting that faith into action. But it is much more than that. It goes beyond that. And so as we look at the book of James, we want to think about the beyond, and trying to understand that which God is calling us to in our beliefs, in our behaviors, and beyond. And sometimes that beyond is in relationships with one another, maybe beyond what we're comfortable, but it also is a beyond into what lies ahead for us after this life. And so James is going to touch on that as we go through this series. I hope to pull some of that out. I would challenge you, perhaps, I could request, ask, whatever pastoral term I need to use to encourage you to read through the book of James. It's a rather short book, but as we do this series, it's going to help you get just an overall picture of where James is headed. The author of this book, it's noted in verse 1 that it's James, but which James is it? And there's a number of James in the New Testament as to which one it could be. And you could do a study in any particular place, commentaries and that kind of thing, to learn more about these different authors. There's a real feeling that it's probably more than likely the James that is the brother of Jesus that is writing the book of James. And I'm kind of leaning towards that being the James indeed that wrote it. It works well with what I'm looking at, so I'm going to go with that. Could it be another James? It could be, and I'm not going to argue with you about that. But in thinking about this being James, the brother of Jesus, and recognizing many of us have siblings, could you imagine what it would have been like to grow up in the house with Jesus, just as little kids? If you think about, if you do have siblings, I am one of six children. So I have three older brothers, an older sister, and a younger sister. So there were lots of us growing up, lots of siblings. And can't imagine what it would have been like to grow up in a house with Jesus. But we learn here that we see James throughout the New Testament, this James that is the brother of Jesus, Matthew 13:55, the question, they're talking about Jesus, and they say, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? So that's the James, that's the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus. And again, shows up in a numerous places, Galatians, but we see it again in Acts 15. Acts 15 is that great council there's some conflict in the church, and all conflicts resolved from there forward by James taking charge. Well, maybe not all conflict, but what was facing the church at that time. In Acts 15, we see this James, and that one being the one who is indeed the brother of Jesus. Acts 15, 13 says, "The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul talking about the miraculous signs and wonders that God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they'd finished, James spoke up, 'Brothers, listen to me.'" And he launches into is the conclusion of the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15. So the brother of Jesus. And I think that's important as we look at some of this text throughout this book of James, because one of the things that I've found very interesting is how some of what James says lines up with some of Jesus' teachings very closely. So we're going to look at this morning, but James chapter 1, verse 2 says to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And if we can remember back into Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus is giving all these blessings, and he says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against me. Rejoice and be glad," Jesus says, "because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So there seems to be that parallel between James saying, consider it pure joy, and what we see in Jesus' words in Matthew. James 1:4, this word perseverance, endurance, must finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. How many are there? How many mature, complete, not lacking anything people do we have with us? Any hands going up? Yeah. Some hands want to go up, I know. And then they take them back down in confession and say, "Oh, well, maybe not just yet." But Matthew 5:48, Jesus saying, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." So again, just seeing some parallels throughout the book of James in this teaching and connecting it to Jesus' teaching. One of the other observations that have been made by commentators, pastors, preachers, people much smarter than me in the history of the Christian church is James doesn't really talk about Jesus, doesn't mention Jesus. I find that interesting to note, but let's see if we can see where these places are. We're going to see it right away this morning in regards to what we see in James chapter 1, these first 12 verses, and we see the importance of belief. Title of the sermon this morning, as we think about the overall picture here of James, belief, behavior, and beyond, what we're going to look at this morning is taking tests. I think this can apply to all ages, wherever we are. Tests. If you're a student in school, looking to go into school, to be in school, there's lots of tests. I remember taking tests in school. Wasn't necessarily a highlight of my school career, this taking of tests. So when James mentions this, taking tests, it kind of, I want to learn more. But there's all kinds of tests. Math tests, science tests. Then we can think about driver's test, eye test, ear test, hearing. And then there's tests, the tests of life, the things that challenge us throughout life. And that's what James is talking about. And so what I see here, what I want to pull out is, how do we take these tests well? How are we able to encounter the things that come into our lives and do it well? That James maybe gives us some clues in doing that. Verse 2 says to consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. I already don't like James because he wants me to be joyful in the midst of trials. Now, there are some trials in life that I struggle to think about how to consider it pure joy. But remember, we've done a study in the book of Philippians that talked about joy. And so to understand that this joy that James is calling us to isn't about an emotion or being happy, but it is more about that attitude that God's calling us to in all of what we would face in life. I'm going to stop. Stan, how are we doing? I'm getting an indication that we're a little bit choppy. Is that anything I can do for us? We okay? All right. Stan says that I should take a sip of coffee and it's going to be all right. All right. I'm going to look at four things here in James about taking tests and how to prepare for the test. First off is to be ready. Life will bring us tests, will bring us trials. Just to know that life brings trials. Now, we don't want to have bad things happen in our lives, but all of us can give testimony of things that have gone wrong or not gone the way we had hoped. Even those that were a part of Sunday school this morning had a little bit of a trial. We kind of got cut off early in Sunday school, kind of that piece of technology that we keep working at. Didn't go quite the way we had planned. So the tests that James is talking about, these trials of many kinds, it can be the intense trials that Jesus was talking about in facing persecution for your faith. But James also includes all of life's trials, from the smallest things that we might face in life, like getting behind a combine on the road on the way to church on a Sunday morning. You folks don't have to travel to the building right now. You can get here through Zoom. No combines in the way on Zoom. From those small things in life to the larger things, life-changing events, death of a spouse or loss of a loved one, death of a child. Those are the larger pieces of tests that James includes in this when he says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So when things do not go the way you had planned, to be able to say, this isn't really how I wanted it to happen, isn't how I imagined it would happen, but here I am. What do I do with this now? So these trials that come towards us are part of life. It's a part of being a human. It's a part of understanding our humanity in facing trials. I faced a very difficult trial 8 years ago. My wife then, Glenda, was involved in a bicycle accident in the summer of 2012. And the results of that accident was that she was left in a coma for 8 weeks. And a decision had to be made in regards to ending life support for her. That was a trial. That was very difficult. And interestingly, today, July 26th, is her birthday. She would have been 54 today. And after that 8 weeks of being in a coma, she did die, pass away. And I can attest to the fact that God is indeed at work in the lives of people today, because all through that time, if God wasn't real, there would have been no way that I could have made it through that. And there would be no way that I could stand in front of you to be able to communicate just the word of God and the experience and the faithfulness of God, because the tests of life bring about the reality, the realness of who God is and how we see God through this understanding of a relationship with Jesus, being led by the Holy Spirit. Be ready for the tests. One of the blessings during that time, while Glenda was in a coma, one of the blessings was the fact that her and I had talked about the what ifs of life. Not that we would have ever imagined either one of us being involved in an accident, but we prepared one another and tried to talk about the what ifs and what would we need from each other in case we were hospitalized in case we were unable to regain consciousness. And that was a blessing. And what I see in James and what I see in my own life is the testimony towards being ready for what we hope would never happen, but to know it might happen. And so if you are married and haven't talked with your spouse about your desires, end-of-life issues, I would encourage you to do that, because that can be a real blessing to one another. Certainly was to me, faced that challenging time, that test. But what I see in James, and as I think back over that time for me, James says to consider it pure joy. And that's that attitude. Have an attitude that I'm going to face whatever's brought before me with joy. Not being happy. Certainly wasn't happy to see my wife laying in the hospital bed. But to remember that it is indeed the attitude of joy which can carry us through into life's difficulties. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And again, remembering in Philippians, we learned about Paul's attitude of joy and how his attitude of joy impacted his ministry and the people around him. And in Philippians, Paul giving us that picture of Jesus, Philippians 2, verse 5 particularly, connecting that our attitude should be the same as that of Jesus. And then goes on to talk about the fact that Jesus did not consider himself to be equal with God, but made himself that servant and took on that servant attitude, that servant position. And that is the attitude of joy which will help us to face the trials that will come our way. Now, I've faced other trials in life, as many of you have as well, and it doesn't mean it's all going to work out perfectly. It doesn't mean for me particularly, I think back over that time with Glenda, it doesn't mean it was God's will for her to suffer, to die. I believe God's will for each one of us is to live a long, happy life. But there are a lot of things that come along, trials, accidents, disease, that stop that from happening. If I can prepare, be ready for that test, but approach these challenges with this attitude of joy that comes through seeing Jesus as our example, comes through that connection with Christ. And then in James chapter 1, moving on, to understand the purpose of these tests. It says in verse 3, you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. So there is purpose in the tests that we face. One person said that the tests we experienced aren't for God. God knows who we are and what we can do. The tests are for us to learn about ourselves. So to know the purpose, to understand this testing is about learning about ourselves, who we are, who God has created us to be, and also learning about God and who God is. I believe there's kind of two levels of purpose to the tests, the trials that we face. One being this overall bigger picture purpose, developing perseverance, growing in our faith, perhaps understanding more of who we are and who God's created us to be. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says this: in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ is revealed. Again, to think about trials, purpose being that overall piece, but there's also another level, and it's about what God is doing in this particular time, in this particular place, in this particular situation, and asking God to reveal to us what do you have for me in this. If you're going through a trial today, if there's something you're facing today, or if somebody you know is facing a trial in their times, to be able to think about the overall purpose, okay, but what about what's going on right in front of me, God? And to continue to go back to seeking after what God would have for us as we think about that difficulty, that circumstance, that trial. And another step in this process is to ask God for wisdom. And that's that particular piece of learning that's right in front of us, to say to God, I need him as I approach this particular trial, this particular situation, this challenge that I'm facing in life. God, give me wisdom. Verse 5 in James chapter 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. It's James says it right there. And God's going to give generously to all without finding fault. It will be given to you. In verse 6, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. If you've been to the beach, you know about waves being blown and tossed by the wind. And what James is pointing out here is to ask God for wisdom, to believe, and the belief that he talks about here in verse 6 is this understanding of who God is and who we are. To believe, to have faith, to understand the salvation process through Christ, in that we receive. And again, this is that grace being given to us, God's graciousness towards us, this belief. And that's what James is talking about here in regards to belief. Now, I ask God for wisdom, and sometimes I ask God for a lot of things for me because I like stuff. And I like to have God's favor. So I ask God's blessing. And what I want oftentimes is at the head of my prayer list. But I want to be sure to recognize that I'm asking for God's wisdom, and it might not turn out the way I had hoped or the way I would wish. But it doesn't mean that it's an unbelief in what is transpiring or an unbelief in God. What it means is that God is still at work even when we don't get the answers we want, even when things aren't going the way we had hoped. But in that, when things don't go the way we hope, we seek after more wisdom from God and asking God for that help. In Psalm 124, I mean, there's a lot of Old Testament scriptures in regards to watching God's people and seeing how things didn't go the way that the people had hoped they would go. And even sometimes that challenge that it seems like, God, what are you doing? It's just not going the way that it seems like it should go. In Psalm 124, this psalm, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared against us, the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Talk about trials. Goes on, praise be to the Lord, who has not let us been torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare, the snare that has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And that recognition to go back and to see God maybe not working out the way we had hoped, but to see that God is indeed at work, even when things go completely off course to what we had desired or what we had hoped. Believe and not doubt. That belief is about the understanding of God. Who God is, who God has created us to be, that understanding of belief that comes through faith in Christ. Verse 9 in James chapter 1 says, believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. And James is going to go after this theme throughout the book. We're going to see it again, in that those in the world that have what would seem to be easy life, riches, wealth, all they need, have a difficult time recognizing God at work. Verse 10, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. And so James challenging us in taking tests to put our hope in God, in our faith, not in the things of this world. He goes on to talk about the rich. Verse 11, the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. The blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Now, don't hear me say you can't be rich and be faithful and believe in God. Absolutely. But James is pointing out the challenge of when things don't go the way we had hoped. The challenge of wisdom is to not rely on self or things of this world, but to rely on God. And then verse 12. And this is the beyond for us this morning. We think about belief, these behaviors. The beyond is verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life. They will receive the blessing from God that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And I would wonder, I have wondered, what if I don't pass? I took a few tests in high school that I did not pass. That's a confession. What if I don't pass? It says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. But what if I don't? What if I fail? Is there hope? There is. There is hope, because the passing of the test isn't about what I can do. It's not about the action. And James is going to talk a lot more in this book about the things we do. But the hope is in the faith, the belief that we have in God through that relationship with Jesus, being led by the Holy Spirit. That is the hope that each one of us can have as we face the tests of life. I probably have done well in taking the tests of life that God sent to me about half the time. That's probably a pretty high percentage. So we better back that out to maybe 20% of the time I've done well. But to recognize the times that I haven't done well doesn't mean that I've lost my faith. It doesn't mean that God isn't real. It means that God is gracious and that my salvation isn't dependent upon what I do, but it's a gift. But because of that gift, then I want to do well in what God has given to me. And I'm working on it. And all of us can work on it together. Last Sunday, you heard a sermon by Jana where she said, we are better together. And we are. James is going to help us think about how we can keep working at being better in our faith, who God has called us to be. It's about belief. James doesn't discount faith in this book, but it's also about behavior, about what we do with that faith and how that faith impacts all of life. And it also impacts what goes on beyond. Blessed is the one who perseveres, who endures, who makes it through this life, because there is a reward, there is a blessing, the crown of life, that's been promised to those who love him. When I get to the end of this life, and I don't know when that is, you know, it could be today. For each one of us, it could be today. And I've asked, are you ready? What if today is it? Am I ready for that? I got a pretty long list of things I want to do yet in my life. But I recognize that my time here is limited, and none of us knows. So if it is today, I would confess to you, I'm ready, although I'm hoping it's not today, but I am ready if it is today. And we need to be prepared for that, to be ready. And as we prepare for that, we continue, as it says in Philippians, to work out our salvation, to do the work that God has called us to do in order to reach the goal to receive the crown that God has promised to us. So at the end of life, I want to say, what a tremendous opportunity. What a ride. Praise God. I hope we can all say that. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your love for us. God, I thank you that you are indeed at work in us, in this world in which we live. God, we know that trials come into our lives. Some of these trials are so significant. They impact our life forever. And God, I would ask you continue to give us courage, help us to be helping one another in the midst of the trials that we face. God, may we continue to seek after you for wisdom in the midst of our trials. For those that may be facing trials right now this morning, God, I ask that you would just bless them where they are. Bring people into their lives so they might be able to sense your peace and presence in their lives through others. Be working by your Spirit in their lives today. Where there is hurt, bring healing. Where there's sickness, to bring healing. And God, may we continue to rely more and more in knowing that you love us, you're gracious towards us, and you lead us forward into receiving and maintaining that gift, that crown of life. Amen.
Have seen on the screen at the beginning of our service this morning a picture of Bill and I holding some signs. And those signs are out here by our church building along the road. And those signs say, God is with us. And I send you with a benediction. Go with God's strength. Because you have it. Go simply. Go lightly. Go gently in search of love. And may the Spirit go with you. Go in peace. And please stay on if you would like to join a breakout room. We will take a few minutes to say hello to each other. And then if you stay on a little longer, you can be a part of a breakout room.